From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. The United States says it has identified potential preparations for a chemical attack by Syrian government forces similar to an April attack in northern Syria that prompted U.S. airstrikes in response. During a State Foreign Operations and Related Programs subcommittee hearing, Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley addressed those claims.
Well, I think the White House put out a statement, and I think that's accurate. They have seen activities that are similar to preparations of a chemical weapons attack, much like what we saw on April 4th. And I believe that the goal is at this point not just to send Assad a message, but to send Russia and Iran a message that if this happens again, we are putting you on notice. And my hope is that the president's warning will certainly get Russia and Iran to take a second look, and I hope that it will caution Assad from the fact that we don't want to see innocent men, women, and children hurt again.
Assad has rejected that his forces were responsible for that incident in April. The U.S. Supreme Court Monday gave a partial victory to President Trump, allowing parts of his revised travel ban to take effect until it reviews the issue definitively in October. Mr. Trump's executive order bans granting new visas for travelers from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen for 90 days and suspends the U.S. refugee program for 120. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer commented.
The president was honored by the 9-0 decision that allows him to use an important tool to protect our nation's homeland. His number one responsibility as commander-in-chief is to keep the American people safe, and that's exactly what this executive order does.
And activists have questioned the court's stipulating that nationals of 6 affected countries can only travel to the United States in certain circumstances. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the number of Americans without health insurance would rise by 22 million during the next decade under the U.S. Senate's version of a health care bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. That number is 1 million lower than the CBO estimated under the House of Representatives bill that narrowly passed last month. The CBO said Monday the Senate bill would reduce the federal deficit by $321 billion by 2026 compared to a $119 billion reduction for the House version. Estimates for both bills expect average health insurance premiums to rise in the first 2 years, but fall beginning in 2020 while people pay more out of their pocket for deductibles and co-payments. The United States is declaring China as among the world's worst offenders in human trafficking and forced labor, placing it alongside countries the U.S. has long disparaged, like Iran, North Korea, and Syria. The designation formally announced by U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and it could further aggravate tensions between Washington and Beijing at a time when U.S. President Donald Trump has sought to enlist Chinese President Xi Jinping in an effort to curb North Korea's nuclear weapons development. And President Trump and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi pledging to work together to boost security and trade ties, declaring his talks with the president very successful and very fruitful. The visiting Indian Prime Minister gave his host a trademark bear hug in the White House Rose Garden. Security was a major focus for the discussions. However, Modi also announced increased cooperation on fighting terrorism and discussed building the country's economic partnership.
We consider USA as our primary partner for India's socio-economic transformation in all our flagship programs and schemes.
Mr. Trump agreed.
It is important that barriers be removed to the export of U.S. goods into your markets and that we reduce our trade deficit with your country.
Combining both the security and economic relationship, an expected multi-billion-dollar deal for American surveillance drones for the Indian Navy will make a dent in the $24 billion trade imbalance in India's favor. The United Nations declared the war between Colombia and FARC rebels formally over Monday after the rebels completed their disarmament. UN monitors say they have the entirety of the FARC's registered individual arms stored away, except for a handful of weapons being used for security at rural demobilization camps. The Colombian president and the FARC commander will hold a formal ceremony marking the end of the fighting this Tuesday. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.